How many of you knew that the Pharaoh being stubborn was going to end badly for him? Yeah, that's just not going to go well. And right now you're in there and you're in the plagues and you're the plague of locusts and you're in the plague of darkness. How many of you would have learned after maybe one or two plagues? Have you noticed that this is a systematic dismantling of the entire Jewish economic and social order? They took out everything. They took out their religion, they took out their economics, they took out everything. This is a systematic destruction of the land as retribution for holding 400 years of slavery. Now you're going to get into something tomorrow. You're going to get, it's good tomorrow. You're getting to Passover tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you right now, somewhere in about a week or two, you're going to get into the 30s and the 40s, and it's going to feel a little bit like unpaved road. Just keep going. Because you know what happens after Exodus? Oh, it's bliss. You get Leviticus. 409-5700, call me with any of your questions. What are some promises that God has made you? He will never forsake you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Even though it feels like it once in a while. What are some other promises? Promises to forgive as far as the east is from the west. I was how far I will remove your sins from me. Even we remember he doesn't. What else?
Healing.
Healing. Guidance. Eternal life. He loves us unconditionally. I want to read you a Bible verse before we go to prayer. It's one of my favorites. Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. I think it's 45, might be 43. Joshua 21, verse 45. And if you have a Bible, you may want to underline this one. Verse 45. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Don't you like that? Not one of all the good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. You know what that tells me? My God's word is good. I can guarantee that it is good. It's good even when we don't feel like it being good. It's good even when it's difficult, isn't it, Daisy? It's always good. It's good even when there doesn't seem to be any progress. It's good even at the end of life. Right, Jim? You see, Jim's going to go do a service this afternoon at 1 o'clock. And he's going to go bring words of hope and comfort. Our God's word is good. So let's bow together and pray. Father, we live in a world that there is disappointment, frustration. We live in a world where we are on a regular basis somehow brought to a height only to be let down. It may be because of our own abilities, it may be at the hands of others, but some days it just feels like nothing goes right and everything is wrong. This morning, Father, we come and realize that your promises are good, that what you promised to us is guaranteed. You never walk away from us, you never leave us. Whether it is the rising of the sun or the setting of the moon, you are always there. Whether we go out or whether we come in, you are always there. We wonder why you even care about us, but you have made us a little lower than the angels, and your promises are good. You promise that whenever we pray in your name, you will listen, that when two or more are gathered together, you are there. You promise to us that if we confess our sins, you will forgive them. Father, you promise. And you fulfill. Not one of the promises that you made to your children has ever gone unfulfilled, has ever failed. And so we stand in hope, a sure and certain hope. Father, we have a confidence in you that is unparalleled. We don't have to worry about you changing your mind. We don't have to worry about you having an off day. You are faithful. Your mercies are new every morning. And so when we come to you and we pray, we bring these people before you with an absolute assurance that you're already at work. You tell us that even before a word is on our lips, you already know our needs. You tell us that if we pray and ask and seek, we will find, we will receive, and you're going to open all things to us. Father, we give you thanks for that through your Son, Jesus Christ. These people that we care about, these people that we're going to mention who have various needs, whether physical, spiritual, relational, however, we just lift them into your hands and we ask that you would do your work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Lord, listen to us. Christina. David. Jeff and Robin. Tom and Michelle.
Sarah.
Fema. Dan. Daisy.
Sarah. Steve.
Father, we thank you and praise you. We say it all the time that you are good, but that is a reality. We say all the time that you are kind and gracious, and that's just a reality. Oh, Lord, you are good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody came to me today that had a concern, prayer concern. Who was it? Yeah, here was your, say it again. And her name is, first name is
Barbara.
Barbara. Father Jesus, Barbara's having knee replacement surgery on Thursday. You know all about that. You know who's going to, you know what company it's coming from. You know it down to the serial number of that joint. Father, we ask that you would be in that room, that you'd be in the anesthesia, that you would be with the surgeon's hands, the nurses, that you'd be with that entire operating theater, and that you would make that a good experience. And primarily, Father, let everyone around Barbara know that you are there and that you are good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today's reading is from Jeremiah 31. 31 through 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says.
Amen. Thank you. Father who makes great promises, the Lord God who keeps his words, we thank you for the word of life. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits that we would not only hear but obey. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I promise. I give you my word. I swear. I take an oath. I'm going to commit myself. I will contract. I will bind myself. We do this on a repeated basis over and over and over again. We do it all the time. And do you know one of the best known promises that we make? I can't take you, Sue, to be my wife. I promise before God and these witnesses that I will be your faithful husband. I will be your faithful husband from this day forth. For better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness or health, to cherish and love you until death do us part. How many remember that one? Yeah. On your anniversary, you take that out again and say, I promise to love you and to cherish you. I don't. Wouldn't it be kind of a good idea on an annual basis to come out there and take out our wedding? Don't strike your husbands, ladies. Hey, I promise. That's one of the most things. That's one of the number one promises that you make. Every 4 years we hear this promise. Every 4 years we hear this. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Everyone, they all make that promise. We hear this promise on a repeated basis. We don't all hear it, but periodically you'll hear it, especially if you're in a judge's chambers at some point, when a number of individuals will stand here and say, I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance, fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom I have therefore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear a true and faithful allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on the behalf of the United States when required by law, and that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, and that I will perform any work of national importance under civilian direction when required by law, and I take this obligation freely without mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. What do you think that is? That's our citizenship oath. That's the oath that somebody comes and they said, we're going to make a citizenship. We make a lot of promises in our world. You know, when I do premarital counseling, we talk about counseling about what promises we make in marriage. Now, did you know that in the state of Michigan, marriage is seen as a contractual experience? Where you get party of the first part meets party of the second part, and they enter into a relationship of marriage. And it's not so much a promise as it is a contract. That party of the first part brings planes, trains, automobiles, cash, bonds, and whatever, and the other one brings planes, trains, automobiles, cash, bonds, and they create a new corporation called, in our house, it's called the Anderson family, where you create more planes, trains, automobiles, bonds, corporates, and a thing called children. Now, this corporation or this entity exists only as long as both sides are happy. And as far as the state of Michigan goes. And if they're not happy, and if all of a sudden they get tired of the fact that the husband is a pig and can't pick up his socks, or the wife somehow burns dinner, or whatever, they can separate, and it's done through another legal activity called the disillusionment of marriage, and they separate all the assets they can separate, and they share the ones that resist division, such as children. And I think, you know, that's not what God had intended in terms of those kinds of promises. And what I do, I have a big rubber band I take out in my office, and I show them the rubber band. I said, this is my image of marriage. And they look at me like I've lost my mind. I said, marriage is like a rubber band. You can stretch it and you can pull it and you can do whatever you want to, but what you have is a covenant. And the difference between a contract and a covenant is this. A contract is dependent upon the other party fulfilling their agreement. A covenant doesn't care. A covenant says, I maintain the agreement, I maintain it regardless of the behavior or condition of the other individual involved. Think about God's relationship to his people and God's relationship to us. He has covenants with us. He has covenants. And regardless of what happens, and regardless of the tugs and pulls that occur in life, those agreements always remain in integrity. He always hangs on to those agreements. A covenant means something is cut. You don't make a covenant, you cut a covenant. A promise or a pledge guaranteed in blood. It is the promise concerning the relationship. It is the primary way that God reveals himself. The essence of a covenant of God is that I will be your God and you will be my people and I'm going to do certain things. In the Old Testament, if you made a covenant, you killed an animal. You made a covenant, you killed something. And that blood was a guarantee of the covenant. It happened with Noah, it happened with Abraham, it happened with Moses, and it will happen with Jesus. In the catechism question in your bulletin, you see that little slip of paper there? What is meant by a covenant with God and his people? Well, that's what it says. A covenant between God and his people is an agreement in which God promises his care and faithfulness as his people respond in faithful obedience. One-way relationships don't work. It's always a two-way relationship. God promises his faithful care and love, and we respond in obedience. We respond out of devotion. We respond out of love. Here are some major covenants that happen in the Bible. You have a covenant with Noah. This is right after God eliminated all humanity and everything that breathed air. It was all destroyed. And God says, I'm never going to do that again. I promise you I will never do that again. If you look in the sky, there's a rainbow over there to say, I will never, ever do that again. Chapter 6, chapter 9 of the book of Genesis. He makes two agreements with Abraham. Number one, he says, look, I promise in Genesis chapter 15, I promise that you're going to be my people. I promise you're going to have more people than you can imagine. I promise I'm going to give them the land. That's found in Genesis 15. In Genesis 17, he promises them again that he's going to do some amazing and remarkable things. And this time, he gives Abraham a sign, and it's called circumcision. And if you want to know what circumcision is, talk to Mark after the service. No problem. Talk to me. I'll tell you all about it. Then you have the one with Moses. And Moses, they're on Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, however you want to describe it. And he's up there, and for 20 chapters, from chapter 19 to 24, he gives the law. And he starts off, and he gives a summary of the law, and that summary of the law is what you and I call the Ten Commandments. That is in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. Well, then he has one with David. And he tells David, look, there's always going to be part of your family on the throne forever. Your family will be the kings forever. And guess who the one is going to fulfill that for eternity? Anybody know? Jesus. He's from the house and the line of David. And then we have the new covenant. The new covenant that was read for us by Darlene this morning. So if you have your Bibles or you're looking over my shoulder, you're looking at Jeremiah 31, and Jeremiah is a book where he is now dealing with people who are being taken away. The walls of Jerusalem have been breached. Nebuchadnezzar's troops have come in. Atrocities have begun. And now it seems that everything that God has ever promised has fallen to the ground. That everything he has ever guaranteed is gone. that everything he has ever wanted has been taken out. And he says, look, here's the deal. The days are coming. That's prophet speak for saying, it's coming, it's going to be soon. At that time, soon and very soon, here's some hope. Here's a promise. It's going to get better. I'm not going to give you an exact date, but it's going to get better. The light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. It's going to get better. It's going to be restored. This is not the last ending. The days are coming, says Yahweh, when I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to make a new promise, and I'm going to make a new agreement with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah, which is significant because Israel hasn't been around for centuries. Israel was killed off 722 BC. 200 years earlier, Israel was wiped off the face of the earth. The Assyrians came in, took them all away. I'm going to make it with the house of Israel. I'm going to make it with the house of Judah. I'm going to give you a new covenant. It's not going to be like the old covenant, because the old covenant you broke. The old covenant was different. This one's going to be internal, not external. It's going to be written on the heart. You forgot. You neglected. You disobeyed. It's amazing how we look at promises, isn't it? We are very self-centered when it comes to promises. Most of the time we promise something, there's a two-way street. I promise you to give your allowance if you clean your room. Well, the cleaning the room, they'll forget that, but they want the allowance. You promised you'd give me a bike. Yeah, but I thought you were going to do certain things like get better grades. Yeah, who cares? I want the bike. Sometimes we forget. And God said, look, I promised you, but you had to do certain things. You had to do certain things. You had to behave in certain ways. Carefully, it says in Deuteronomy 29, carefully follow this covenant so you may prosper. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your leaders, your chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives. You are standing here in order to enter into the covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you and sealing to confirm with you as a people today that he may be your God as he promised and swore to your forefathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making you this promise, not only with you, but with all who are not here today. I'm making this promise. I want you to do something. I want you to obey. If you know the history of Israel, they don't get it. How many, Ron, you've gone, where are you right now in your reading? 17, 18, right around there. Have they disobeyed God yet? Yeah, they do it all the time. I mean, they don't even get the covenant out of the wrapper and they're already disobeying it. They don't even get to Mount Sinai and they're already crabbing about the water and the food. How many of you have ever taken your children to a nice restaurant and they go, oh, what is this? How many of you walk in, have worked hard on a dinner and go, is this what we're having? Have you ever taken someone and done something nice for them and have them treated as if it was just garbage? So many times that occurs. Israel did it all the time. Israel did it all. You won't get out of the book of Deuteronomy without them angering God on a repeated basis. You won't get through the book of Judges without God absolutely pulling his hair out. They repeatedly disobeyed God. They broke my covenant every which way but loose. Every way possible. And by the time this comes to Jeremiah, God has finally had enough. They broke my covenant. They violated it. They did not behave. They did not make it. I made it with their ancestors. And look at the image that God uses. I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. It's almost like them being a dad. In Hosea chapter 11, he says, I'm the one that taught you how to walk. I'm the one that led you out. Like I took you by the hand. I led you out. Later on in the verse, it says, I was a husband to them. It's another common image of God's relationship. He speaks as being their husband. And in fact, Israel breaking the covenant is speaking as if they were unfaithful, of infidelity, of adultery. And God said, that's how much this hurt. That's how much your violations of the promises, and that's the violation of the agreement, that's how much pain there is. Verse 33, this covenant I'm going to make with these people, it's going to be different. This covenant I'm going to make with the people at that time, I'm going to put the law in their minds and write it on their hearts. This isn't going to be a code you're going to follow. This is going to be a passion of your life. This isn't going to be something you wrote on a stone tablet. This is going to be something that's going to be written on your heart. How do you do that? Only one way, by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in their lives. I'm going to put a new life in them. They're going to follow me because they want to. They're going to follow me because they want to. They need to. I will do this. It's not a possibility. It's not a probability. It's a reality. I will make a covenant with these people. I will write my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I want them. I want them. No longer are they going to teach their neighbors or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. They're going to know who I am. And I'm going to know them from the least to the greatest. And I'm going to forgive them. We're going to have a relationship unlike any other. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to show them what they need and how they need to live. I am going to forgive them. Next week, we're going to demonstrate what that looks like. Next week, we're going to demonstrate how that covenant can be written on our hearts, how it can be written on our minds, how we can know that he is our God and he can know that we are his people. Paul writes about it in this way, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after this supper, he took a cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" You see, the law of God is not written in a tablet. It's written on our hearts. It's written on our minds. It's written where we can have a passion. The reason we take the bread and the cup on a monthly basis or on a weekly basis, depending upon your church, is to remember what it is that Jesus did. He became the new covenant for us. I don't have to have God's law written on my heart. I have Jesus. I know I belong to him and he belongs to me because of Jesus. I have these things because God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I go back to Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. Not one of all God's good promises has failed. Every one of them was fulfilled. His promise to me in Jesus is good. His promise to me in Jesus will be fulfilled. He has made a new agreement and a new promise, and he has made a new oath, a new covenant, a new relationship where his faithful care and love are given to me as I respond to him, not out of legal obligation, but because I love him. My faithful obedience is not born out of any threat. It's not born out of any coercion. It is born out of passion. I want to know him because I love him. I want to follow him because I love him. And I have a new covenant which is written on my heart. And I have a new covenant which is promises that are held and promises that are kept, both now and forevermore. Those promises are good. They will know me and I will know them, and he forgives me of all my sins, all my wickedness. That's the covenant that God has with you and I. That's the promise that you and I have been given. That's the promise by which we live. Without this promise, nothing means anything. It is who we are, and it's what we have. This morning, you and I live by a new promise and a new covenant. And those words are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.